Excellent. Well, hello again. So this morning, what I'm going to do is share an update on the situation with the building in Gainford that we spoke about kind of at length a couple of months ago, back at the beginning of September. And we thought things have obviously moved on since then, and we want to share where things are up to. And just as a kind of heads up, I guess, to those who are visitors or haven't been here much before, this is not normal, and this is not something I particularly like to do, as in I like to preach the Bible, and the using this kind of preaching slot to kind of do more of a vision type talk is not something I would like to do on a rare occasion, but sometimes it's really important that the whole church is aware of where we're up to, and we don't just do it on a kind of a midweek evening where we can only get a few people there for various reasons. And so this is a one-off, so just so you know that. I am, however, going to start with some Bible. Am I a bit boomy? Or is it just me thinking I'm boomy? I don't mind too much, as long as it's not put... Now could have probably put everyone else off, because now you realise I'm boomy. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to start with verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I'll read that again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, that is God, and he will make your paths straight. They're amazing verses. As you can tell, they're one of the few verses I've memorized in the Bible, because it's just like a motto for my life. It should be a motto for our lives. That we trust in God and not ourselves. That we seek to look to him for our direction and our guidance in all that we do. And actually, they're very challenging words. Because when you actually try and live by these words, you realise it's very easy to keep going back to what I want to do all the time and what I think is the right thing, and to go by my opinion in life. And yet, if we're going to live as individuals in this way and as a church in this way, it means we need to keep coming back and say, God, you're in control. Jesus, it's you who are building your church. That's been our motto as a church since we started. Jesus builds his church. And so that means that as we seek to move forward and progress and all the rest of it, it's not about what I think is the right thing or even what you think is the right thing that we should be going on. It's about what Jesus says is the right thing. And so our heart in this whole building journey has been saying, Jesus, what is it that you want? And we haven't made a quick decision. We're not making quick decisions because we keep wanting to go back to him and say, what is it that you want? What are you saying? Because that is the only way to fruitfulness. It's a little bit like the verse that Joy read at the beginning. If we're like a branch separated from the vine, and we try to do life on our own and go by what we think is the right thing to do all the time, then we won't bear much fruit. In fact, the verse said you'll be able to do nothing. But if we keep abiding in Jesus and we keep remaining in him and saying, Jesus, it's you first I want to see, it's your heart I want to know, then that is the path to fruitfulness. That's where we'll see things come. And so that's individually, we can all take that hope as a personal challenge for our own lives. Right now, whatever's going on in life, are we abiding in him? Are we seeking to put him first and allow all the stuff we're doing to flow out of what he wants for our lives? Or are we just putting our opinions before what he thinks is right? But also it's true for us as a church. And the promise is that when we acknowledge him, when we do that, he will make our path straight. I love that promise. He'll make your path straight. Yeah, that's good, Mel. Because it's very easy to be kind of live a windy life, where we're meandering all over the place. We're going here and we're going here and we're going here. And you're doing great demonstration here, but I'll be meandering around the room. But when we acknowledge him, when we acknowledge Jesus, he makes our paths straight. And that's amazing. So it doesn't mean that life's suddenly going to be really easy when we acknowledge Jesus. Because actually, Jesus says that those who follow him will have many troubles in this world, and there'll be hard things that come. But what it does mean is that when we follow Jesus, he will enable us to go straight. And he will enable us to keep the path that he wants us to go. And actually, it's a straight path, but it's also an adventure-filled path. Who wants an adventure in life? I do. I want to have a life which is full of God, full of his spirit, full of his adventure. And sometimes when we follow Jesus, when we go down the path Jesus wants us, it leads us to uncomfortable places. Anyone experience that? Where you're kind of saying, Jesus, what do you want? And he starts saying things. It's like, this feels uncomfortable. But we should expect that. Because what was the life of Jesus like, our model and the founder of our faith? It was an uncomfortable life that he lived. It was a life full of suffering, and it was a life which went to people and did things which other people might not want to do because it wasn't what you call like a comfortable and an easy life. And if we're called to follow Jesus, then it means that he will lead us in that way. And a few weeks ago, for those of us who were the weekend away, I shared about this kind of picture of taken from Madagascar, but how we're called to be animals, as it were, that are in the wild. We're called to be human beings. But like the animals who are in the wild, who live the adventure-filled life, we're not called to be caged up and just do things. It's not like business as normal. We just go through the motions of doing things and living a boring life. We're called to embrace new things. And one of the things God has really been speaking to me about in the last few months, and particularly over this journey, since he's called us to be Redeemer Church and with the building stuff as well, is this phrase that it's not business as usual for us as a church. That it's not just going through the same motions that we do because we're church, we do this, we turn up on a Sunday, there are new things. There are really new things that God wants us to lead us into. And some of those things will be uncomfortable. But the point is, we're trusting the Lord and not relying on our human understanding. We're acknowledging him and not saying it's about what I think is right. Redeemer Church is not going to be a church where you can just sit and get comfortable. So if that's the sort of church that you want, then I encourage you to find another church. I mean that, seriously. Because that's not the church that we're going to be. We want to be a church who are pressing into new things. Just, God, what do you want? God, take us on the journey of radical faith, which means that the kingdom advances and lives are transformed more and more and more. Jesus is our model, as I said, and in Luke chapter 4, but you don't need to find it, it's all right, verses 18 and 19, he says this about his life, his mandate: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. That is a kind of life which involves commitment, it involves sacrifice. It's not the kind of Christianity that he demonstrates to us and calls us to, which is just turn up on a Sunday and get comfortable, go home again until next Sunday and then do it again. It's actually a whole of life thing, which means going to places that he calls us to Monday to Saturday as well as on a Sunday. And it's into that context, I couldn't help but preach a little bit because it's important to get a bit of preaching. It's into that context that I want to update us on the journey of where we're up to with this buildings, this context of seeking his will above our own and acknowledging him and saying, Lord, we don't want to trust what we think is right, but what you think is right. And the context of him calling us to this radical, faith-filled, adventure-filled life that I want to share where we're up to in this building. So just a bit of background. Maybe we could just actually show the pictures, if that's all right. I'm aware most of us have seen these, or we saw the video that I showed back at the beginning of September. But just for some of us thinking, what are we talking about? Sometimes images are helpful. That's all right. I'll keep going while you find it. But back in March is when I first heard about this building through Ivan. And he mentioned it to me after one of the Lent meetings that we had in Churches Together meetings, because the lady from another church had said to him about this building. So for some reason she knew that we had done some work in that area of town, and we were keen to increase what we were doing. And so I found out about it, and when I found out about it, I thought, this is interesting. This excites me. Here we are. Now they're here. Show. So that's the outside of the building. Just flip through a few. The kind of main sort of bar area, which if we were in there, wouldn't be a bar area, but sort of cafe area. next one, John. Main kind of function room at the back, meeting space, and then one more picture, I think. This is kind of the second largest room, called the green room, which, yeah, could be used however God leads. So that's the context. So we found out about it in March, and because I won't go over it again, this is the 7th of September, but because God had already spoken to us very clearly about this area of the town as a church, the building being in kind of the vague area of the town, I mean, it's not just one small area, it's the Gainford area, but it's all sort of a sprawling, as I'm discovering more and more, and I went for a walk with Graham the other day to see it. Well, I've seen it before, but he gave me a guided tour of the area, having lived there before. It's kind of Gainford, the avenues, Wynyards, Delaval, I think it's called. They all kind of back onto each other, but that whole area of town is somewhere which God has spoken to us about, I believe. And just because he's spoken to us about that area of the town doesn't mean this building is right. Hence why we wanted this process over the last few months of discerning, of engaging the church and seeing what the church was sharing, were feeling as well. And so we got the building survey done back in July, and we felt a real rise of faith. As I said back in September, 1 Chronicles 22, God really spoke to me very clearly, I feel, about on the day the building survey was being done. And I read this, opened up my Bible to the passage for the day, and it was this verse, these verses. "Now, my son, the Lord be with you, so that you may succeed in building the house of the Lord your God. Be strong and courageous. Fear not. Do not be dismayed. Arise and work. The Lord be with you." And it was just like, I just sensed in my spirit there was something in this that we should be pressing forwards. But we wanted to see where the church are at. Like Nehemiah rebuilding the walls, he wanted the whole people of God to be engaged and involved. And so that's been our heart these last 2 months. So as most of you will be aware, we've had a couple of months of praying and of pledging to see what the heart of the church is on the issue. And to be honest, over the past 2 months, it's felt like a tug of war has been going on in my heart. It's been a very difficult 2 months, I would say, spiritually, as I've been like, God, what are you saying? Because we want to know, and we want to do what you want, not what we want. And that's honestly mine and Matt's heart as elders, as we lead forwards. And there are all sorts of things which God seems to have put in our path, which is saying, keep going, keep pressing forwards with this. There are various things that have happened which have encouraged us to say, God, you're in this and you're encouraging us. He could have blocked at any point. He could have put things which made us think this isn't right. And yet he's kept putting things which have made us think it's the right to press forwards with. And so just give you a few of those things now. Firstly, the result of the pledging has been... I just put wow in my notes. Has been far beyond what Matt and I, well, certainly what I can't speak for Matt. Matt might be more faithful than me. He is more faithful. But unexpected. And that number came to £109,000. And that's just from this congregation in Chester Street. And to be honest, that's blown us away. And I'll try not to cry. But that just shows for me a level of heart and of desire to see the kingdom of God come, to see lives transformed. And I know many of you haven't placed because you're not sure what I'm saying, and that's totally fine. It's not about the people who have placed the great. We're all seeking God and working out where it's at. But to be honest, I had faith for 50,000, and if we got that, I would have thought, wow, this is amazing. So to over double it has astonished me. Secondly, when we went on the 22nd of September as a church to pray outside the building and seek God, I really sensed, and I felt other people were sensing as well, this kind of anticipation, this faith anticipation. There seemed to be an excitement and a rise of faith as we were gathered outside there praying and kind of just imagine what God could do here. That was kind of what I felt, just imagine what God could do here. Thirdly, Claire, Matt and myself went down in the middle of October to a Regions Beyond Leaders event in Gloucester for a couple of days. And we went down really praying, God, would you speak to us? God, would you give us some more clarity about this building? Because, again, we don't want to do what we want. We want what you want. And for various reasons, few conversations we've had and things, there had been some caution that had come into our hearts. And we said, God, be clear. You know, speak again. If this is right, speak again as we're here. And a few things happened while we were away. Firstly, we knew from the estate agents that the owner of the building would accept £105,000 for this building. And when we went down, there was £87,500 pledged, which was already amazing. But I knew there had been some envelopes given in the Sunday before. So the day we got in on the Tuesday, I messaged Jenny and said, the treasurer in Durham, and said how much had been given last Sunday. And she said £23,000 something. Anyway, it came to exactly £105,000 to the penny. And that, you could say it's a coincidence, but I don't really believe in coincidence, actually. I think God's sovereign, as we've been seeing overall. And just the way that came together, like, God, we asked God, God, would you give us some more confirmation? We had this amount in our mind. I kind of said to God, I don't think I really prayed it. I just thought it as a sort of joke. But God probably took that as a prayer. Wouldn't it be fun? My sense of humour, you're getting insight to my sense of humour. Wouldn't it be funny if this amount came to £105,000, the total pledge? And then she had £105,000, and she didn't know that, anything about the background, £105,000. But then she messaged back almost immediately after saying, actually, I miscalculated and it's £109,000, which I think is even more humorous given the fact that that figure should never have come back in a text, but it did because of her making kind of an oversight, which Jenny doesn't do normally, which was amazing. So again, this doesn't mean, therefore, this is the right thing to do, this building is right. It's just cumulative effect of various things over the last few months. Secondly, in conversations with various leaders down in Gloucester who we respect, Two of them said exactly the same phrase, I think one to Matt and one to me and to Matt, about God wanting to give us a gift of faith for this building. And there was a real kind of excitement. Again, doesn't mean it's right, it's just a sense of God seeming to stir something in our hearts. There was also a message that Mark Jones gave, a sermon on the importance of values in the church, and something we're thinking about, obviously, at the moment. And just as he was talking about that, and I was thinking about the building, and I was thinking about who God's calling us to be as a Redeemer Church, I felt this building, again in my spirit, would really help facilitate the values that God has put in our hearts for the church. It's not all about buildings, it's about doing what God's calling us to do. Sometimes buildings are useful to facilitate what God wants to do. And finally, just as we left and we were talking in the car, Matt and I were just saying, both felt that the uncertainty that we had on the way down had been replaced with this faith. It was like God had given a gift of faith while we were away. And so God did something in our hearts. That's all I can say, really fundamentally. How many more of these have we got? The fourth of five kind of encouragements along the way was when Jad Potter was with us a few weeks ago. And I took her to see the building, just around the outside, just walking around the outside. And, I mean, she's an evangelist, so she probably would be excited. But she was very excited. She could just see, through, I guess, an evangelist's eyes, the potential, all the houses around and where it's located. And there's a shop called the Something of Light, some Foundation of Light or something, next door, which I'd never noticed before. She pointed that out and said, that's cool. And again, doesn't mean it's from God, but just, yeah. But most importantly of all, when we got out of the car, an older couple approached us who lived just somewhere around that, on that stage around the corner. They were walking their dogs, and they said, are you looking to buy the building? They initially said, just turn it into a mosque or a synagogue, just do something with it. I said, well, actually, I'm a pastor of a church, and we are just considering it as a church and seeing what God wants. And they were so enthusiastic, they were so excited, that God could have put anyone across our path. We could have put no one, or he could have put a whole number of people who were quite antagonistic towards us, would have been probably the most likely, actually, percentage-wise. And yet they were so positive. It was almost like they were spokespersons of God presented to us, saying, welcome into this community, come into this community. And fifthly, a range of people in the church have spoken to Matt and myself about their positivity towards the building. So, you know, there's been a high level of positivity in conversations and all the rest of it. And yeah, at the same time, so that's kind of one pull of the kind of tug of war. At the same time, there's been going on this other pull where we've had, which have made us question if this building is right. I want to be completely transparent and honest of where God's been leading us. And it's like every time God has raised faith in us and done something like one of those things I've just said or something else, kind of the next day or a few days later, something else happens which makes us think, oh, is this really right? And it puts caution. It's been putting caution in our hearts. No one's come up to us and said, we feel like God is saying this is not right. But just a number of people have said we're either indifferent or we just haven't felt God speak about this positively. And we ultimately, Matt and I as elders, we believe, make decisions for the church in terms of our vision and direction. But we take seriously, hence why I'm doing this now, the feeling of the church and the sense of the church as we go. And so the particular question that's lingered in my heart from these conversations is this. Are we in a place as a church to take on running and managing a building? Do we really have the people to make this work? We have wonderful people. That's not against any of the people. It's just we're people who are stretched. We're entering a whole new season in Redeemer Church. There's lots of unknowns. And fundamentally, I'm not called. God hasn't called me to be a building manager. And so that could potentially end up being what happens. And that was the situation until Thursday this week. God, you seem to be saying yes, and yet at the same time, you seem to be saying no. God, what are you saying? It's a horrible place to be. I find it very stressful spiritually to be in that place. Because like, God, just make it clear. And for some reason, in his sovereignty, he sometimes doesn't make things really clear right at the beginning, and it's sort of bits of the jigsaw that fit together, and then suddenly things click. And on Thursday evening, something happened, which for us, we felt it was like the bits of the jigsaw came together and things clicked. And on Thursday evening, Matt and I and the Redeemer Trustees met with Dave and Bob and Jeff from Heartwood Skills to discuss a potential partnership over the building. And we'll hear more about Heartwood Skills in a moment, so I'm not going to spend time now. But the proposal that we discussed is for Heartwood Skills to buy the building and for the church to act as the anchor tenant in the building. And as we listened to Heartwood's vision for the building, it was like it just resonated so much with Matt and myself and the vision that we have for the building. And it was like, this isn't two different visions, this is different parts of the same vision coming together. And as Matt and I reflected after, and we've discussed with members of the wider leadership team, it feels like with this new proposal, what had previously felt slightly out of place has now clicked into place. And maybe that's the reason why this tug of war was going on in my heart. Maybe it's like God saying, yes, the building's right, but the way you're pursuing it currently isn't right, and there's another way into this. And so there are all sorts of benefits for the church, from a church perspective. I think there's great benefits from a Heartwood Schools perspective as well, but there's all sorts of benefits from a church perspective from this scenario. Number one, it will provide the church physical space to help facilitate the mission he has called us to. That's like the biggest one, really. Specifically, details would be worked out if we continue to go down this route, but specifically we would have a small office space for a church, we'd have a meeting space to accommodate adults and kids on Sundays. If we outgrow that, then we would rethink and we'd seek God about whether he's calling us to do two meetings in the same building, but that's their questions for the future. And the ability to use much of the space for outreach initiatives as God leads us during the week, again in conversation and partnership with Heartwood Skills. And our vision for our use of the building includes the following. Number one, and primarily, Jesus is worshipped. That's the unique thing that the church can bring to any building that they occupy, the worship of Jesus. Lots of other people can come and do stuff in the building, which is helping the poor, or serving various needs, or doing this, or doing that. But the worship of Jesus, only the people of God, the church of God, can do. And so I believe there is power in purely worshipping Jesus. As we gather week by week in a space, even as we've done it in part of you, I think that has had power. That is a powerful thing. As we do it in the middle of this community that we believe, God has called, just as an aside, God has called us to the whole of Chester Street and regions beyond Chester Street. So it's not like you say we occupy a space and therefore we're only for the people around that space. It's not like in part of you we're only for the people around the centre of town. We're for the whole area. And so that will keep being our vision if we press forward. And we make sure there's ways of people getting there, if they struggle to get all that sort of stuff. They're issues to be easily worked out. But Jesus is worship, number one. Secondly, the vision is that there is a high level of community ownership. This isn't like a church or even like Heartwood Skills building. This is the building which the community know is theirs, and they love, and they think it's a good place to be, and they want to be, and they know there's love and acceptance there. That the boundaries between church and community diminished. And I think Nathan's word last week, it was all really helpful. I loved and really felt particularly the last little phrase about the church being a church of approachable light. Was really, really relevant for us, and particularly with this, that we're called to be light, the glory of Jesus manifest. Wow, there's something distinctive about this people, but also very approachable. And I believe this building will help us be an approachable light to the people around, wherever they come from. Thirdly, we want to see courses, for want of a better word, running in the main function room that will help people in all areas of life, whether that's in parenting, in marriage, in cooking, in job, trying to find jobs, in recovery groups, whatever it may be. And the list is endless, really, in terms of how God leads us and leads individuals in the church. We want to put things on which support people in real life. Fourthly, we want to work with young people, because there's very limited amount of work with young people in this town. There's a huge gap in the town. And Heartwood Skills and potentially Heartwood Mind with Chris Clark, and also there's all sorts of stuff that we can connect into and draw into that building. Obviously Heartwood Skills would be there because they'd be owning it, that and partnerships that could really work well. And fifthly, some sort of drop-in cafe in that current bar area, where there might be a simple soft play area, there might be a clothes and toy exchange, there'd be maybe specific age focus groups for toddlers or for the elderly. I mean, there's a nursing home right next door to the building. It's an amazing opportunity to connect in with that. And so that's just a snapshot. Like, really, I don't want to tie it down to this is what we're going to do in the building, because the list is endless as God puts things in the hearts of his people. That's the point. But the worship of Jesus and the community connection is fundamental. Other benefits financially, this is good for the church. because, like, money isn't a problem. God's got all the money, so we don't need to worry about money as a church. But we would be paying ongoing rent to Heartwood Skills, and that would be set amounts that we're paying month by month, and the pledges therefore will be void. So happy Christmas. if we go down this route, and but not happy Christmas, really. Well, happy Christmas, but keep that money, because the money can be used for something else. It might be that in 6 months' time or a year's time or however long. God says, actually, we want you to, as a church, we need to employ other church workers, someone to work with young people or someone to work with children or someone to work with whatever. And actually, we pledge money, we give money to be able to fund that for a few years instead. So we're not all tied into the money. We're not all run out of money, basically, in this building. My time and energy wouldn't be sidetracked from what God has called me to. He's called me to lead this church and to preach the Bible. And if I'm not careful, as I said earlier, I could end up being a building manager, and I'm all for rolling up my sleeves and getting mucking in, but that isn't what should be my full-time job. There's flexibility for us as a church. We want to commit to this for as long as God wants us to commit to it, and it wouldn't be like, you know, we're not expecting in a year's time to run out of the building, because that would be pointless. We want to be there for the community, but it leaves flexibility to God to lead us in years to come if there is another building that seems more appropriate, or for whatever reason it's no longer right for us to be there. And finally, it's a really positive kingdom partnership with Heartwood Skills. I believe in the local church. Hopefully we all believe in the local church is the hope of the world. The kingdom of God advances primarily through the local church. But it's not the local church in isolation. It's the local church in partnership with other organisations that are seeking to see lives transformed, seeing people changed. And Heartwood Skills is just one of those in our community. And this seems to be a mutually beneficial kingdom partnership, that together we could do more than each of us could do separately. And so on that note, I'm going to ask Dave, Bob and Jeff to come up, if that's all right. I didn't say this at the beginning. This is a slightly longer sermon slot than normal. but just for about 10 or 15 minutes, just to give them a heads up of time, I'm going to, as I have already given, but just, I'm going to ask them a question each, just so you can get all of them, because they're all great people. Get in the right order, so I know who I'm asking what. And thanks. So, Dave, firstly, what is Heartwood Skills doing currently? Where is the field work? What's going on currently with Heartwood Skills? And what's on the horizon? Kind of aside from that. And what, in a sentence, what is Heartwood Skills?
Heartwood Skills is a outwardly Christian organisation that looks after children on the fringes of society, for those who are at risk of exclusion, for those who aren't in training or any sort of employment, and for those who come from a tough background, like most of us have come from. We are here predominantly for them, and we do that fundamentally at the moment through going into schools, going into their isolation and pastoral departments and saying, who's not in a lesson, give them to us. And then we take them, we build them back up as people, we show them who they are in God's eyes, and we tell them that in those words as well, and we lift them back up, give them the skills that they need to either reintegrate into their day-to-day lessons or go into an enterprise or employment from there. We are doing that in a school called Weymouth in Sunderland. We've been there since September. We've been talking to them for over a year, but we've been in since September. We've run a 7-week pilot, of which they've asked us to stay on for 2 years, to looking to pay us to do that. We're currently seeing about 12, 13 kids on and off.
Yeah,
we have a core group of about 7 lads in year 10 who we are doing that with.
Thank you.
then we have just started recently to incorporate some year 9, year 10, year 11 girls who are, believe it or not, in top sets in all things, but are yet still on the risk of exclusion due to low-level disruption, which is... It angers me a little bit on the inside, but that's what I'm passionate about anyway. These children come from all walks of life, looked after backgrounds, broken homes, somewhere they've just recently been put into temporary care, and these kids have such a thirst for learning, such a thirst for having somebody to talk to and for them to actually listen back. And for those who aren't going to tell them every 5 minutes to be quiet, sit down, stop that, do this, when all they're wanting is tell me how to learn, tell me how to live my life, and then they learn from that. So that's what we're doing in schools, that's current. We, come January, we are an alternative provider in Durham for education, so any school or any educational establishment in Durham can call upon Heartwood Skills and use us in their school or in our time outside of the school. Again, that's paid for. We are in talks with Sunderland, Alternative Provision and Newcastle. We've got partnerships brewing with Nudge Education, which is a private sector, who have already told us they want this nationwide, but we're holding back a little bit on that. And we have, who else do we have? We're in talks with about 5-6 other schools that want to take us on as soon as possible. So things are exciting, things are growing, and one fundamental part of what we want to do as well is to fulfil our community aspect of it. We have communities in other areas, but we are from Chester Street. We are part of the church in Chester Street, so we want to be able to serve Chester Street as well, and that's where things are going.
And Bob, what's your vision for the building and how the church fits it? How do you see the church fitting for that?
I wrote some notes last night before I saw what Anne was going to say, and they're basically the same. So the fact that you can't really hear me because I've got my voice is not a problem, because he's just said all the things that are on this piece of paper. I was quite late to join the Heartwood crew. I've only been involved for a couple of months, but the vision from the day I walked in, initially I think from Dave, but very much shared, was always that whatever building Heartwood might end up buying, we really wanted it to facilitate the work of the church. This church, for us, we're part of this church. We see Heartwood as one of many mission branches of Redeemer Church. So for us, this is kind of really a natural, like a really natural element. What would that actually look like? Well, first up, the building is not going to be the Heartwood building, and there's a church that meets there. We're thinking of some kind of neutral name on that. Maybe the Beacon has come up, so that the community knows that the Beacon, or whatever, that place is a place where Redeemer Church is meeting community needs. It's also a place where Heartwood Schools are meeting kids' needs. And those two things go together. I'm grinning, I'm so excited. There obviously needs to be some dedicated spaces within that building. Church needs an office, church needs storage, like there's quite a lot of kit. Heartwood needs an office. We want to turn the beer cellar into Dave's workshop. No, not Dave's workshop, a workshop. So that Dave can pay and so that we can teach kids lots of practical skills. Other than those spaces, the whole place needs to be accessible for church use on a Sunday, so that there's space for kids and space for this. And so we need to set it up so that it's as flexible as possible. We need rooms that can be divided off or not, so that we can take kids in there and teach them as Heartwood, so that we can train groups of teachers and youth workers as Heartwood, so that the community can come in and do, let the community tell us what the community needs. There's such a long list of things that could be, so that Pad B can use space, so that refugees can use space, so that groups we've not even heard of yet can come in and use space. For example, the community cafe. We need a community cafe in there. Our kids could cook, our kids could volunteer. The church can meet the community and meet needs. We want youth work in there, parents and classes, holiday childcare, holiday hunger, food bank, debt collection. Let's put some showers in there, and a washer in the dryer, so that people who are in crisis have a place where their dignity can be restored to them again. I don't know what the older folks are going to want. I wrote down bingo lights, which is like the most stereotypical. I'm really sorry. They can tell us what they need, but we'll have a space. We want it to be a safe space. There's 3 county drug lines that meet right on that building. We want to work with the police so that that is a safe space for somebody who's got themselves involved in the gangs. There's a knife amnesty, so there's a sharps box. Like, we don't have to do this stuff on our own. There's support to do this. Longer term, there could be a community energy scheme coming out of that building. Like, there are so many opportunities. But Heartwood Skills is 5 people at the minute, one of whom is not in the country. The church is a bit more than 5 people. That building could facilitate so much going on with Bedina meeting those needs, partly meeting the bits that we're called to. Yeah, I'll stop there.
Amazing, thank you. That's great. So it's probably a question ringing in everyone's ears, this sounds great, but how on earth are you going to buy this thing and renovate it, and what does that look like, and timing for that? Where's the money coming from, etc. Mr. Practical Jeff, come on, give us some practicality.
Captain Pragmatic. So essentially what's happened is we are in the middle of a multi-stage funding bid. So the wheels are already very much in motion. If any of you worked with charities or anything before, you'll know that larger bids come in stages and the funding arrives in stages. So we've cleared the first stage. We've got a nice healthy chunk of funding that's come in. And what that funding does is clear up any questions and qualifies us for the larger chunk. The two pots of money come from the same place. So this 100 and whatever thousand it might be, because it's going to cover renovations as well. The same fund who's going, they are going to give us that, have given us this smaller chunk of money to say, we want to fund you, but we also need to make sure that this funding is going to be well placed. So the smaller chunk, if anyone wants to know the amounts, that's fine. We can talk about it after. It's just the GDPR. I'd rather not put it on a podcast or a sermon. So come grab me after, that's fine. So we have some money in the bank now. We're about to undergo some training, workshops, and some real stress testing, I think is probably the best way to put it. So we'll put everything together, come up with some really robust business plans, which we've already done a lot of, which we have to, otherwise, you know, it would be pointless to just stick your finger in the wind. Once that's in place, the 22nd of this month, it all gets submitted to the larger funding body, which is backed up by European money. This is all super exciting, I'm sure. And then before Christmas, we will have a decision on whether that funding has cleared or not. We expect that it will. We have no doubt that it won't. You know what I mean? It's fine, we'll get there in the end. We're working with a specialist who specialises in this particular branch of funding. Not just funding in general, but this one she has 100% success rate on so far. So we're pretty confident that everything's going to clear and that all the money is actually relatively risk-free. So the second part does come in the form of a loan, which we can talk about later, but because it's European funding, it's also a practically interest-free loan, which is awesome. It can pay back. We have a construction project manager lined up so that as soon as that funding clears and we can get the legal process out of the way and instruct solicitors to buy the building, we're lined up. We know exactly what to do in terms of renovation work, how much it's going to cost, and the phases that will happen in. I think it's important to say that even if everything happens super fast and we have the building on January 1st, we won't, just to caveat that. There is work that needs to happen in the building before we get in. And that work, to get it to where we ultimately want it, will not happen overnight. So we're going to go in, first things first, we'll make it habitable, where it can be a usable space by everyone who needs to use it. Might not be fantastically pretty, but it'll be usable. And then from then, we work in phases up to where we get to the amazing, incredible final product where everything's all singing, all dancing, and it looks lovely, and the community can use it however they want. So, yeah, timescales are pretty tight. I think it's important that we recognise that we met on Thursday evening this week with the trustees, and we basically said, you know, we've got to get everything done by the 22nd of this month, so can you get back to us? And to be fair to Ali, you have pulled out all the stops in order to speak to so many people to be talking about it today, so thank you for that, and that's great for the future partnership, if you like. So that's it.
Thank you.
But we have a seat. Am I not allowed to use it? I'll take that off.
Sorry.
I'll have it back. We're going to ask Matt now. I'm going to draw things to a close in a moment with a few comments. Matt has had a prophetic word, which really connects in with this, which I think,
Hi. Throughout this kind of building process, God's just been bringing back to me the phrase, there's going to be joy in the journey. Well, it's been a challenging journey, but there's going to be joy in the journey. And on Thursday night, I was kind of reminded of that really very powerfully. Like when I was driving home after the meeting with Hartwood and the trustees, God really just, I was like, right, God, you know, you need to really speak here and like stir more faith in my heart. And again, throughout this whole process, God's been amazingly speaking to me through Nehemiah. I think there's so many parallels in Nehemiah, so much we can learn. So there's a couple of bits in Nehemiah 12 that I'll read out, and then I'll share kind of what I feel God's kind of been saying through that. So it's Nehemiah 12, verse 31 says, "Then I brought the leaders of Judah up onto the wall and appointed two great choirs, that gave thanks. One went to the south on the wall to the dung gate. And then down to verse 38. The other choir of those who gave thanks went to the north, and I followed them with half of the people on the wall, above the tower of the ovens to the broad wall, and above the gate of Ephraim and the gate of Yeshaniah, and by the fish gate, and the tower of Hananel and the tower of the hundred to the sheep gate. And they came to a halt at the gate of the guard. So both choirs of those who gave thanks stood in the house of God, and I and half of the officials with me. And then finally verse 43 says, and they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced that God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. You know, we've been journeying and are journeying as families. You know, we are a family of families in Redeemer Church, and Heartwood is a family within that. And I really felt that, you know, Heartwood and us, Redeemer Church and Heartwood, are these two choirs. We're both on the wall. We're both wanting to partner together on that building project, which I think the wall kind of really signifies very well. And we come together, but we come together not at cross purposes, but we come together, as Ali has alluded to, in this wonderful, beautiful kingdom partnership. You know, and a choir is, I think, such a beautiful example of that partnership. You know, because a choir working well is in harmony. There's not a disharmony. You know, I'm sure we've all been in situations where we've been somewhere and there's not been harmony in the voices and it doesn't work. But choirs in harmony, and two choirs in beautiful harmony, what a sound. You know, so we are coming together as our choir, Redeemer Church, and the Heartwood Choir on the wall together, full of faith for this Christ-centred partnership. You know, it's not about the church flourishing and Heartwood not flourishing, and Heartwood flourishing and the church not flourishing. It's about the kingdom purposes of God flourishing in this beautiful harmony of these two choirs coming together in this Christ-centered partnership, bringing glory to God, seeing the kingdom of God advance in this area that God's put on our heart.
Thanks, Matt. And so, just to draw to a close, maybe if you got the video job, we shared this morning how we feel God is leading us as elders. We do feel like, you know, we're journeying together. But we feel like I've tried to be as transparent as open as possible the last few months' journey and what God's done in the last few days. And we're aware, kind of suddenly, it's like this is a change of direction in one sense. It's still the same building, but it's a change of approach. And that's just because we're seeking to follow God. It's not, you know, we sort of designed it this way, but that's how God's led us. But we really would love, as I said, as elders, we are ultimately going to make the decision. And we do feel very positive. It's just probably come across that God is speaking in this. But we'd still love to hear from you. So first and foremost, can you, like, Thursday, is we kind of need to give an agreement in principle to Heartwood just because of them then going to this training next week and everything. So it's kind of a fairly rapid timescale. But God's quite able to speak quickly, so we don't need to worry about that. But could you commit to pray Sunday now? So you've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Really pray, like, seek God, get on your knees before God. I know that might mean getting up earlier before you go to work, or staying up late, whatever, however it works. But commit to pray, and if you're able to fast, choose one of all 3 days if you want, but choose one of the days maybe to fast. And by that I mean, if you're able to, and there might be medical reasons or reasons it's not helpful for you to, and that's, please don't then if that's the case, but miss out a meal or 2 meals or 3 meals in the day, that you just give over to God and pray and say, God, we are hungry for you, we're desperate for you. It's a way of just signifying to God, it's not a magic trick, but it's a way of signifying to God that we are hungry for him and we want his will to be done. So as Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Lord, that's our prayer.